Okay. So, ladies, just, I just want to say a quick prayer. I do that because it calms my nerves and it helps my attention go to the Lord. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Blessed Savior, Holy Spirit, what a sweet time of prayer with my sisters in Christ. What a sweet time, Lord, of singing these beautiful words to you, God. Prepare our hearts, open our minds, Lord. May we grow in all the ways that you want us to grow so we can always be sisters in Christ that glorifies you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy on us, Lord, every day as you continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So, dear ladies, we have gone through this book through the whole season, and it's been a great book to go through, Becoming a Woman Who Pleases God, and it's been a blessing. So in chapter 9, I am going to be teaching on a wise woman accepts her unique position in the body of Christ. So first thing I want to start with, of course, is the body of Christ. Romans 10 tells us that we confess that Jesus is our Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We believe that we are saved. And from our heart we believe and we desire to walk in righteousness. Tells us in Romans 10:11, for the scripture says, whoever believes will not be disappointed. All who are in the body of Christ are greatly blessed, ladies. We all have been made complete in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:9-10, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Ladies, cherish that thought. In Christ Jesus, we are made complete. What does that mean? That means his fullness is imparted to us. John 1:16. For of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. At salvation, believers became partakers of his divine nature. Listen to 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He says, for by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Believers are spiritually complete because they have fellowship with God. They recognize the authority of God's will. They know the truth about ultimate reality here in this world. So to come to Christ, ladies, is to come to one who alone offers completeness. And that's who we are in the body of Christ. Diversity in the body of Christ. Romans 10 tells us there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And we know that in the Bible, the word Greek stands for anyone that's not Jew. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him, and whoever will call on his name of the Lord will be saved. The body of Christ has diversity. There's an array of personalities, experiences, and different cultures. We come out of various backgrounds. The apostles came out of various backgrounds, fishermen, tax collector, a zealot. You know, a zealot was a political agitator, a rebel against Rome. And then Paul, Pharisee of Pharisees. So we were saved, we're young, we're old, we're married, we're single. We come from generational Christian families. We come from non-Christian families, our cultural Christian families, which is one that I came out of. We come out of hurtful paths in a variety of different situations of life, and God takes us all and puts us together in one body, the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, we are commanded to love one another. Our love for one another is a testimony to the world and a pleasant aroma to God, ladies. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another even as I loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, in John 13. And then it talks about in 1 John about what it means for us to love one another. We know that by this, that if he, Jesus, has laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth, in 1 John 3. We build one another up in Ephesians 4 until we attain to unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. We encourage the faint-hearted. We help the weak. We practice patience with one another. And in the spirit of gentleness and love, we admonish one another for the good. We encourage the faint-hearted in the body of Christ. We help the weak. We practice patience with one another. And in the spirit of gentleness and love, we admonish one another. We are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. We give preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, in Romans 12. And we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15. All this is going on, ladies, in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we are commanded to glorify God in all that we do. It tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, let our light shine before men in such a way that they see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And one of my favorites is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, and I love that because it tells you no matter what you do for the glory of God. The body of Christ, ladies, I continue. It says, the body of Christ, for each of us, there's different circumstances and seasons of life. In the body of Christ, each of us will have trials in different seasons of our life. While we don't always know what is coming around the corner, God knows every one of them. May we remember what our dear King David wrote in Psalms 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even for there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet was not one of them. So ladies, why so much about the body of Christ? Why did I start that way? It's because we are physically in a fallen world. And in the business of our life, it is easy to forget our kingdom is in heaven. And God wants the body of Christ working together for his glory. So as we went throughout the season and teaching in the Woman of Word, we talked about many encouraging topics that helps us create an environment in our homes that is pleasing to God. Creating a gracious home, stewardship, hospitality, contentment, finances, a worldview, so many things that help us live a life that's pleasing to God. But today we will be reminded that there are different life situations behind those closed doors in our homes. So when you walk into the door of one of your sister's homes, do you know her struggles, her joys? Do you seek to know so you can give word of encouragement, physical help, advice? In any season of our lives, someone is struggling in the body of Christ. And some of those struggles are with singleness, being a single mother, childlessness, loss of their spouse. So as we go through this chapter in chapter 9, there's so much in any of these areas that we could sit here for hours and talk about just one subject alone. So please realize that I cannot cover everything. Unless you want to stay for 5 hours, we'll keep going. Let me know. But in this book, I want to bring something to your attention. They use the term a wise woman. And I want you to embrace that, a wise woman. Throughout the book, they use that. And what they said, they emphasized two principles. A wise woman, wisdom means understanding God's truth, that's knowledge, but also applying God's truth, that is wisdom. So when they state a wise woman accepts the unique position of her body in Christ, keep those two terms in mind. It's knowledge, and it's also applying that knowledge. Something that I always love to bring out because I think this is so precious is Paul's prayer. When he prays for the saints, he says in Ephesians 1, he prayed in Colossians also, in the, he says, may God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power through all who believe. So dear ladies, we're going to look at four situations that are in the homes of our sisters in Christ. And becoming a wise woman, we must ourselves ask these questions. How do we love each other through the difficult seasons of life in the dark valleys of a fallen world? And when I am in a dark valley, how can I glorify God where I am today? Keep those two questions in your mind, ladies, as we go through and look at our sisters in Christ. We start with a single sister struggle. Singleness in the body of Christ. The wise woman thrives in her single state. 1 Corinthians 7:34. The woman who is unmarried in the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. She uses her days of singleness to concentrate on becoming mature in Christ. Why is this so vital, ladies? Because only spiritual maturity, not professional achievement, marriage, children, or ministry success, will stimulate spiritual completeness to flourish in a single woman's life. Her eyes need to be on the Lord. Matthew 6 tells us when we're worried to seek out his kingdom and his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 7 tells the single woman to be concerned about the things of the Lord. But why is this hard for some of our single sisters? And we know that it is. We hear about it. I share with you Nancy Lee DeMoss, 57 years single lady. Now she's married Mrs. Robert Wollemoff. And I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong. Hopefully she won't listen to this message. She wrote a little booklet called Singled Out for Him, Embracing the Gift, the Blessings, and the Challenges of Singleness. Many single women, she says, and men I have talked with, feel that the challenges of singleness far outweigh the gift and the blessings. Intellectually, they know that God loves them, that he has promised to meet all their needs, but they still battle the feeling that he really isn't enough, and that perhaps if they could just be married, they wouldn't feel this way. Some ladies may not voice it, but this could be in their hearts. She continues and says, whether happily or unhappily single, those who are believers are faced with a unique set of opportunities and responsibilities. So what is the answer to that statement in our heart? It is Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We hear this so much, ladies, but how precious that truth is and should be dear in our hearts. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then it says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. When we don't trust God's perfect plan, we rob ourselves of true joy. True joy is not the result of having everything I want, but of gratefully receiving exactly what God has given me. Many of us are robbed of joy by living in the realm of if only. We would be happy if only I had a husband. I didn't have a husband. I had a different husband. I had children. I didn't have many children. I had a different job. I could own my own home. I made more money. Learning contentment brings peace in your heart, ladies. Sue Leek taught on contentment in chapter 3 in December 2020. She quoted Jeremiah Burroughs. He said, the rare jewel of Christian contentment is that sweet and word, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to the delights of God and God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Contentment is Paul saying, not that I speak from want, For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Being content is being confident in God, in His sovereignty, in His goodness, in His work. Contentment is trusting God. If we are content with what we have, we will never be content with what we think we want. If we are not content with what we have, we will never be content with what we think we want. Nancy continues in her booklet, certainly there are times when she was single, I whimpered and longed for something God had not provided. But over and over again, He brings me back to that wonderful place of trust and surrender that says, oh Lord, if it pleases You, it pleases me. We tend to think that what is really good is the fulfillment of our desires. It all comes back to that basic issue. What is the will of God for my life? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Marriage and trusting God. You will be better prepared for marriage when you concentrate on becoming mature in Christ. You will understand that marriage is not a condition for salvation. It is not a command or the standard for everyone. You will understand that marriage is not to be idolized, but God-centered in truth. Marriage is not about finding someone to make you happy. It is learning to make someone else happy. It is not about getting, it is about giving. It is not about finding fulfillment, it is about self-denial and sacrifice. So if you do not learn contentment when you are single, you will unlikely be content once you are married. The deepest needs and longings of our heart cannot be filled by any human being, but only by God Himself. I share another thought from a single sister during her college days in a Christian college. She says, from a Christian college professor who was single, told her, her charge to the single students was to buy themselves a nice set of dishes. Some of you single ladies, hope you heard this. If you haven't, please contact me. I would love to send you the whole write-up. So she said, she explained that she used her college dorm dishes until she was 40 because subconsciously she didn't think she should have nice dishes until she was married. There is strong and prevalent messaging that your life, your ministry, and the real work of your relationship with God begin only when you get married. So why would you buy nice dishes when your real life hasn't begun yet? She also makes statements like, my relationship status cannot alter the deep, desperate need of my soul for a savior. My relationship status cannot bring me worth or holiness in the eyes of Jesus. He loved me when I was yet a sinner, and He called me to holiness and ministry, no matter if I am single or married. She ends with, as the body of Christ, we are called to be like Jesus, to lay ourselves down at the feet of God and submit wholly to Him, starting from the instant the Holy Spirit quickens our hearts, not starting on our wedding day, not at any other arbitrary starting line. So whether you are single or married, she says, whatever your relationship status is, may be, she says, run to Jesus. So I end with two scriptures, Martha and Mary. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Again, ladies, I remind you, 1 Corinthians 7:34, the woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. So we move on to single mothers in the body of Christ. Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. The wise woman nourishes the single mother. Again, I say, the wise woman nourishes the single mother. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is what is best in the sight of God, not what is best for us and not what is best for the world. To visit, that doesn't mean just to drop by for a chat. It carries the ideal of caring for others, exercising oversight on their behalf, and helping them in whatever way is needed. It involves true sacrificial love, ladies. Orphan and widows in those days were the greatest need in those days. There were no life insurance that we have in the United States, welfare programs to support them. Jobs were scarce, and some of them did not have families that could help them. So today, in the 20th century, in the United States, there is still a need for caring for those of great need. In addition to our orphans and widows, the single mother is on that list. In the United States, there is 1 in 5 children that are living with the single mother. Go to other countries, this percentage will be lesser or higher from nation to nation. And depending on their support, this can affect a single parent greatly, emotionally and financially. Each of their stories are not the same. The father may be involved and supportive. The father may be involved but difficult. The father may have passed away. The father is alive but is not involved in any way. Their family is involved and supportive. Their family is not involved at all. Her children are grown and able to take care of themselves. Her children are young. So how should the body of Christ respond to any of the above situations? It says, a wise sister in Christ will possess a tender heart towards the single mother and will apply the principle of unselfishness in nurturing her. We love our single mothers by seeking to understand their needs, ladies. Seeking is an action. We eagerly reach out to help meet their physical needs and provide emotional and spiritual encouragement. We visit them in their distress. She encourages and helps her to walk uprightly in the Lord. I share with you a story of a single mother, Carol Turhan. She wrote a booklet to help ladies, titled Help, I'm a Single Mom. She was widowed after 8 years of marriage with 3 young children. The youngest one, she was pregnant at the time. She says, it really hit hard. How was I going to lead, protect, and provide for my children while caring for the home and meeting their everyday needs? I needed to cook the meals, pay the bills, clean the house, make the decisions, be the spiritual leader, and discipline the children, among other tasks. She says, as I ponder on these concerns, the spiritual God brought precious word to bear on my fretful leads for, I'm sorry, on my fretful heart. Isaiah 40. Lift up your eye on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases in power. She said the question no longer haunted her thoughts. The God who has spoken this universe into existence, who upholds all things by the word of his power, and whom all things consist, was perfectly capable of taking care of us. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But then she says, in another overwhelming moment,
when I thought about what laid ahead. Raising three children without their father was a foreboding task. How could I help them understand that God was love and did only good things when they experienced defilement and abandonment? How would they learn to forgive? Again, I needed to counsel my heart from truth, not from emotions. Too often we listen to our hearts, a deadly practice. I realized that I must simply teach my children God's truth from His Word and live by His grace, trusting Him to do His work in their hearts. I didn't know what the future held, but God did, and I would rest in that fact. She says, if on my wedding day someone had told me what would happen 8 years later, without hesitation, I would have said no thanks. But God, in His infinite wisdom, hasn't given me a five-year plan. He asked me to walk moment by moment in helpless dependence upon Him. Carol said to single mothers, she says, you probably never planned to be a single mother. You may feel confused, heartbroken, and overwhelmed. Why has this happened? You may ask yourself, how will I cope? How will I pay the bills and raise my kids on my own? She says, I encourage you to trust God's sovereign plan, knowing that His wisdom and love are perfect. We look at our sisters who are childless. Psalms 147. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. The wise woman is content with childlessness as she trusts in God. One in four couples will not be able to conceive a child of their own. Approximately 2.3 million couples in the U.S. are infertile. Infertility is on the rise due to many reasons and circumstances. So why do our bodies not produce always? We forget the curse. In the beginning, God made and it was good. But then by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, all that was good was cursed, man and creation. Suffering in this fallen world, pain in childbirth, broken relationships, a hostile creation, grueling work, disease, and physical death, our life is affected in every way by sin. Each of us, as descendants of Adam and Eve, are destined to live out our days in a world infected by sin. As a result, we are likely to shed many tears as we await our Savior's final victory over sin and death. That is from the book Inheritance of Tears, trusting the Lord of life when death visits the womb. Can God open our womb? Yes. There's nothing impossible for God. What will I do if God does not open my womb? As you seek medical advice and other terms, distrust in God, even if you don't fully understand. We can never know all the reasons God allows particular trials in our lives. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. Remember, just as God had a unique plan for Sarah, Rachel, Elizabeth, God has a unique plan for women currently facing the issue of childlessness. And also remember, your genes and your ability to bear children do not determine God's blessings. God's blessing is based on His grace, and it extends to all who are part of God's family. Elizabeth, in the Bible, a barren woman for most of her marriage. She pleased God. Both her and her husband were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments, requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Ladies, you are not an incomplete woman without children of your own. We find our peace when our primary focus of our lives is to live out the fullest, loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and loving our neighbor. Last lady that we will look at behind the closed doors of a home is our widows in the body of Christ. Psalms 34. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A wise woman cares for widows.
Most women will become a widow sometime during their lives. The reality is that women often outlive men. For most, it will be at the end of their life, but for others, it will be in the midst of a normal life that one day is cut short. As we read about our single mother of 8 years of marriage. God is very concerned with the needs of the widows, Psalm 68 and 146. God established clear guidelines for their care, 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Timothy 5. Again, in James 1:27, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Therefore, as sisters in Christ, we love our sisters by seeking to understand their needs. We eagerly reach out to help meet their needs, provide emotional and spiritual encouragement. We seek ladies to understand our single women. We seek ladies to understand our women who are childless. We seek ladies to understand the single mother. And we seek also to understand what a woman can go through with her loss. So Lisa Tatlock shared her mother-in-law, Deanna's experience. And why her experience is her experience, and there are many things that are common, and then there will be other things that may not be common to. But after 33 years of marriage, her husband was killed in a car accident. The difficult role of being a widow, she shares in the days, weeks, months, and now years that have followed the loss of her husband. 8 years later, she states, I experienced many emotions over the past several years, fear, sorrow, pain, loneliness, anxiety, anger, hopelessness, to name a few. Then she says, but through it all, there has run a thread of peace, hope, comfort, strength, and even joy that was given to me by my Heavenly Father. I have learned spiritual lessons and had my eyes open to scriptures that I would never have learned or seen had not God chosen for me to journey through such a difficult path. She says, how could life ever be normal again? It won't ever be the same again. But God can and will lead me, and pass new experiences, new joys, new victories, and new blessings because he promised that he will. She ends with, he has given me hope even though I don't always feel that way. There is a future and a plan for my life that will go beyond my losses and bring me peace and happiness. To God be the glory. She gives some practical tips from her experience. She says, grief will come and go in different stages and in different waves. And ladies, understand that. Do not put a time frame on our sisters when they're grieving. It could be 2 years later, something could come through in their heavy heart and love them through it. She says, don't try to face your loss alone. Thankfully, accept the loving help of those around you. She says, seek advice to those who know what you are experiencing. Seek sound financial and life decisions, making advice from qualified people. You see how the body of Christ can really love each other through all these challenges. Don't be afraid to show your grief. Do walk freely of your loss. Acknowledge the necessity of grieving. Don't suppress your grief or feel guilty about experiencing the different stages. And then she says, God is near. She says, God's word is a great source of comfort. She states, I have literally lived in the Psalms during my time of grief. At times, the pain and sorrow have seemed more than I could bear. Psalm 86, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. And ladies, your loss is not a result of some sort of punishment and something you have done wrong. And finally, God has a plan for your life, even through the storm. So ladies, by hearing about the difficult valleys of life we go through,
I pray that each and every one of you will walk a little stronger in desire to love one another and to reach out to one another. And while we walk about our four areas, remember, there are many more than just the four that we talked about. There are sisters mourning their unsafe husbands and children. There are sisters taking care of their elderly parents. There are sisters taking care of someone with special needs. There is chronic illness, chronic pain that people deal with. So on the other side of the door, when you go to a sister's house, get to know their story. As we get to know each other better, may each of us be encouraged to reach out and learn each other's stories. And as we struggle in the seasons of our life, may we reach out to our sisters for help and love. Did you notice the common theme in all the challenges? Love God, love others, the great commandment. I remind you of a few comments from each section. I encourage you, she says, to trust God's sovereign plan, knowing that his wisdom and love are perfect. Another comment from one of the sections I read, you are not an incomplete woman without children of your own. We find our peace with our primary focus for our lives is to live out to the fullest, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and loving our neighbor. Another comment I read to you, he asked me to walk moment by moment in helpless dependence upon him. And then our single lady said, again, as the body of Christ, we are called to be like Jesus, to lay ourselves down at the feet of God and submit wholly to him. Starting from the instant, the Holy Spirit quickens our heart. I love that she said that. Starting from the instant, the Holy Spirit quickens our heart. Not starting on our wedding day, not at any other arbitrary starting line, whether you are single or married, whatever your relationship status may be, run to Jesus. So, I end with a few more scriptures of God's commands, of God's truth. And I want to remind you of the one also that she read that was so precious in Psalm 73. But first I start with Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, Paul tells the saints, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When Paul was talking to the Galatians, he needed to remind them the importance of how love fulfills the law. So he tells them that the importance of walking in the Spirit, the importance of believers bearing one another's burdens, he tells us in Galatians 5. And he tells them, for you were called for freedom, brethren. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. He says the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes further down in verse 16, he says, so walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And if desires of the flesh, we know that we have challenge with those in our mind and in our actions. But when we have our peace, I want you to notice that our peace isn't based on the flesh. It's based on walking in with the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And remember that when we walk in the Lord. So when we fall back into the flesh, and we do, may we remember the goodness of God. When you see a sister in Christ falling back into flesh, pray for her and pray with her and remind her of the goodness of God. So ladies, again, we talk about a wise woman accepts her unique position in the body of Christ. That means that we trust our Lord and Savior in all the challenges that we go through. So I wanted to end with Psalm 73. Because that psalm was on my heart the whole time that I have been teaching. Thank you. 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and besides thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So ladies, who do we have? We have our Lord and Savior. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus Christ. We are made complete in Jesus Christ. And we have the body of Christ. We have each other. And may we hold each other dearly and persevere together in the challenges that each and one of us go through in our life in any season, in any time. Let me pray. And as I pray, ladies, I want to pray some of the names on our prayer list to remember some of our sisters at Hope Bible Church that are struggling. Dear Heavenly Father, blessed Savior, Holy Spirit, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have not left us alone to go through the challenges of a fallen world, but you have equipped us with the ability to get through them. You have strengthened us with what we need to do what is good for you, Lord, to glorify you. We are reminded daily, Lord, as we deal with the challenges, as we see our sisters struggling, as we go through our own struggling, that we are in a fallen world, a cursed world. We are reminded when our bodies fail. We are reminded when we see the world struggling. But then, Lord, we remember your compassion, your kindness, your mercy. You are a merciful God. And we remember that Jesus tells us to come to him when we are weary and heavy laden. Remember, Lord, that you will not leave us nor forsake us. And we are grateful, Lord, that this world will not always be this way. But until now, until then, Lord, may we honor you, Lord, and glorify you in all that we go through. We will fail sometimes, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We will be faint-hearted, Lord, but may we be faint-hearted with you. I pray, Lord, for my sisters in Christ, and remember those that are struggling. May you remember the Leek family, who recently are dealing with the loss of a father, of a husband. We pray for them, for Sue and the children. We pray for those who are very close and dear to him or are feeling the hurt also, Lord. Remember Tam Granado, who lost her daughter-in-law, and her son is now dealing with the loss of his wife at a young age with a son that he will take care of. Remember, Lord, those who are caregivers, Julie Lissacow, Jan Lynch. May remember also Robin Zender. Remember, Lord, Sharon Armstrong, Lord, who struggles with the challenges of her of illnesses in her body and is also a widow. Dear Lord, we remember Suzanne Applebaum and Ann Kane, Suzanne's medical procedures that she is going through and Ann Kane's upcoming. We pray for them. We remember Linda Moody, who's dealing with her father, the Sirgines, their son-in-law's illness. Remember Maria Brigman, who has been dealing with medical challenges for many years now. Natasha Brown. Remember our dear sister, Colleen Cummings, who also is dealing with a recent medical challenge that she didn't see coming. Judy Fisher, Lord, who struggles with her health. Megan Lovato, Annette Morris, Sally Myers, Carolyn Ott, Yolanda Santiago. Oh, Lord, there are probably many names that I have missed, but you know each and every one of us, and you knew the days of the life that we will live and the struggles that we would go through and the joys that we would have. There are many women who struggle silently that don't go on the prayer list, but you know us all. Oh, Lord, We thank you so much for the hope that's in us. We thank you so much for that we live knowing that our kingdom is in heaven, knowing that you will wipe away all our tears. But until then, Lord, may we live a life that's pleasing to you, that glorifies you in all that we do. May we love you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And Lord, may we love our neighbor as ourselves. May we love the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this precious truth that we walk with in our heart. I lift all these things up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But what I wanted to give you on the outline are some talking points and biblical truths and practical applications. Because you know what I put in there? At any time in our life, we will need to remember God's truth. We must be careful not to be wise in our own minds, but to trust God with all our heart and acknowledge Him and believe that He will make our path straight. So I put areas of we have all we need in Christ, and we need to remember these. And I put down some more scriptures to support that. And then I put down some thoughts for you ladies to read. Therefore, a wise woman, there are thoughts that we kind of we put in our mind, but we need to fall back on truth. So please read these and talk about these things. In the back, there's a section in the book that said responding thoughtfully to life demands. And dealing with your heart issues, communing with God, communicate with others, seek godly counsel, listen, prioritize all demands, recognize the superwoman syndrome, develop management strategies, consider the needs of others, and take care of yourself physically. These are just practical applications that we need to consider, and each and every one of us, we can glean from something from this list. So I pray that you will all be blessed, and thank you so much for coming and hearing this precious truth. Love you, my sisters.